Well, I'm excited about... That was funny. I'm sorry. I'm excited about kicking off this new series called This Is Real Life. And the Lord, I've been telling you guys laugh at me when I tell you this, but I'm serious. The Lord, I was asking the Lord, Lord, what are you saying to me? And he said, get to September. I'm like, okay, we're 5 days away from September. And I'm sure the Lord's, when I get to September, I'm going to say, Lord, now what? And he's going to say, get to December, right? So baby steps. Everybody say baby steps. But we are stepping into a new season as a church, and so we are glad. I am glad that you are here, especially on this day, which is so significant for us as we kick off this new series, This Is Real Life. Today, I want to talk to you about the methods behind the mission, the methods behind the mission. During the next 5 weeks, we're going to be actually focusing on a passage in Acts chapter 17. We're going to dive deep in that in our groups. But before we do that, this morning, I wanted to give you some context. And so for you, in order for you to really understand what's happening in Acts 17, you've really got to go back to Acts 16 and look how they got to Acts 17. And so I want us to look at that together. The pulse of Acts 17, the things that we see happening in that chapter, is beating with Paul's passion to make Jesus Christ known. How many know God wants his church to beat with passion to see lost souls saved? To see a harvest that's coming? He does. He wants to revive us. He wants to stir us up again. Chapter 17 is actually a response to a vision Paul had in Acts 16, verse 9. If you turn there, let's read. It says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. How many know a lot of times God will speak to us in the night because that's the only time we're still enough for him to speak to us, right? And so a lot of times we're asking God to speak to us and we're having dreams and we're having visions at night and we're discounting them because of bad pizza we ate or the pizza we ate that was too late at night, right? But here God is speaking to Paul in a vision in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. How many need some help? Verse 10 says, now after he had seen the vision, immediately, everybody say immediately, we sought to go to Macedonia. So Paul has a vision of someone in Greece, modern day Greece, waving him over to come and help them spread the gospel. Paul wakes up and the Bible says immediately they sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord has called us to preach the gospel to them. It's important for us to understand as a church that God is in this next season that we are stepping into. I said next season, just for to make it clear. It's important for us to understand as a church that God is constantly going to be calling us to places we've never been, to do things we've never done, to reach people for Christ who have never been reached. And I'm not just talking about the isolated tribe in the four corners of the world, which that is very important, but there are people right in our own community that have never heard the name or the salvation message of Jesus Christ. Verse 10 says, now after we had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia. The vision, in other words, it says this, Paul says, the vision we are seeing comes with a response. It's important to know the vision that we are seeing comes with a responsibility to act on what God is saying. Again, the vision we are seeing, the things that God shows us, the things that God reveals to us, it's not, how many know, it's not always a still, small, quiet voice. It's not always when you're reading the Word. But my Bible says in the last days, he's going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh, and old men will dream dreams, and young men will have visions. I was reading Habakkuk, which is an Old Testament prophet, Habakkuk 2 verse 1, and something jumped out at me that I had never seen before, and I wanted to share that with you this morning. It says this, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart. And listen to what the prophet says. He says, and I watch to see, listen to this, what he will say to me. He didn't say, I will listen for the Lord's voice to speak to me. Listen to the importance of vision that the prophet understood. He said, and I will watch to see what he will say to me, and that and what I will answer when I am corrected. What I want to say to you as we're stepping into this next season, Real Life Church, is to pay attention to what you're seeing. Because many times you'll discover what God is saying. In other words, when you wake up in the middle of the night with that verse, you need to do something with it. When I was on this road trip with Amy, we were with Amy and my daughter. God spoke to me two times in dreams, and I wrote them down immediately. Why? Because I'm watching for what the Lord is saying. I'm recognizing that God is wanting to speak to me in different ways. He speaks to me through the Word. He speaks to me through others. He speaks to me in that still, quiet voice, but he also speaks to me through visions and dreams. And I want to give you permission to hear God's voice that way. Vision always requires our obedience. You see, when we obey, God makes a way. This is what we see in the life of Paul, in the ministry of Paul. Many times, listen, we are waiting for God to open the door, and God is waiting for our obedience. Again, allow me to set the table for the next 5 weeks as we discuss and discover the values that I believe that God is going to have us live out so that we can fulfill the vision or this next phase or first phase of the vision, however you want to look at it, that he's bringing us into. On Sundays, just so you know, I want to make it clear, on Sundays I'll continue to take time to take you deeper into this passage of Scripture, Acts 17, verses 22 to 28. So right in there, I'll continue to take time to take you deeper into the Scriptures. And during the week, whether you're attending a group in a home or you're attending a group at our new family night here at Arena or our cafe groups at Artisan, whatever kind of group you're a part of, which you're going to have an opportunity, by the way, to connect with some group hosts at following service, whatever group you're going to be a part of, we're going to use those times together to go a little deeper, but to really discuss the five values that I'm going to share with you today that I believe are critical to the vision that God is asking us to walk out here at Real Life. I've been in the Old Testament. I think I mentioned this before, but what I've realized is that when the children of Israel were crossing the Jordan to enter the promised land, God was saying, you know what? You're not going to operate with your old behaviors, your old habits, your old patterns of life. No, the new land that I'm bringing you into is going to require new values, new laws that you're going to live by so that you can prosper. And it's important for us to understand that the vision that God is releasing to this house, listen, God is giving us new values so that we could see that vision fulfilled. The focus of our groups during the week, I want to make this clear, is not curriculum or the teaching. You say, what do you mean? This is what I mean. The group's focus will be building healthy community with one another so that we can learn and share these values that are going to fuel the vision of our future together. How many of you know Sundays, you don't get a whole lot of time to interact with one another? Why? Because we're in rows and you get to know the person's in front of you, the back of their head really well, right? You're like, hey man, you got a rooster tail, or what's that scar on the back of your head? Those kinds of things, right? In our small groups, this is where we're going to get face to face. This is where we're going to be able to really take time to discuss the things that we need to discuss so we can get deeper. We can take the message and we can apply it to our lives and we can begin to walk out what God has for us. The group's focus will be building on healthy community. Three things. Again, I'm approaching my first 100 days as your lead pastor, and the 100 days I've been trumpeting this. Healthy staff and team, healthy church, which is leadership, membership, et cetera, et cetera. If you attend Real Life, you're not, you're just a part of this church, you call it home. I'm talking about a healthy church. So here's the deal. We can't become healthy if we remain a pastor-centric church. We must have many spiritual fathers and mothers emerge to help us live out what we are being taught. This is the biblical pattern of Paul's ministry. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. I'm reading out of the J.B. Phillips. And yes, I'm taking time to lay a little bit of a foundation for the next 5 weeks. It says, Paul says, I don't write these things merely to make you feel uncomfortable, but that you may realize facts as my dear children. After all, you may have had 10,000 teachers in Christian faith. How many of you enjoy good teaching? Right? You like good teaching. Amen. But Paul says, but you cannot have many fathers. Other translation says you don't have many fathers. He says, for in Jesus Christ, I am your spiritual father through the gospel. And that is why I implore you to follow the footsteps of me, your father. So not just teaching, but following. Not just teaching, but getting this stuff in our lives and making it a lifestyle. And then he says, I've sent Timothy to you to help you with this, for he himself is my much loved and faithful son in the Lord, and he will remind you of those ways of living in Christ I teach in every church to where I go. So on Sundays, listen, we're going to go deep in the teaching. Listen, and on the weekdays, it is my heart that spiritual fathers and mothers, group leaders, group hosts would begin to rise up. And listen, you would begin to facilitate discussion. And listen, pour your life out into people that want to live out these values for the future vision of Real Life. What is a healthy church? What's it look like? Christianity was never meant to be lived out alone. It was meant to be lived out in the context of community, of a community of people in pursuit of God together. Jesus set the example by choosing 12 for 3 years of ministry. How many know 3 years is not a long time? And I'm letting you off the hook. I'm just asking for 5 weeks. For the next 5 weeks, I'm asking you to connect in community. And after our services at the tailgate, how many of you guys ate yet? Did nobody ate yet? Good. Because we have bacon, pancakes, and eggs that the Gray's Wolves are cooking. So if they open that door and you get a whiff, I apologize. But afterwards, we're having a tailgate party with all of our group hosts that you're going to be able to connect with and find out what group that you can possibly jump into. So what will happen in the groups? Are you guys ready? What will happen in the groups? Each week, we've recorded short videos. I've recorded short videos. How many are you thankful for short videos? I've been in small groups where the videos are 45 minutes and you don't get a chance to share or talk or anything else. It's just like Sundays, right? We're making the videos short so that we can dive deeper into community and into discussion. So the videos are going to serve as conversation starters, okay? And then we're going to provide a study guide, which you can pick up following service, right as you go out at the Information Center. These are lined up. This is a companion guide for the study. Pastor Andrew and I, we both put this together. Pastor Andrew put a devotional in this, so you could use it as a devotional as well. But you can get this following service. If you can't afford it, listen, you don't need it to participate. So just pick up one of those when you leave, and that'll guide you all the way through it. And then here's my prayer, that our groups become a safe place to discuss things that we really need to take time as a church family to talk about. How many know we need to talk about some things? And Sunday is such a short period of time that we don't have time really to interact and get to know each other on a friendship level. And so I invite you, please, after service, take your time. Don't hurry up, leave. Make sure you pick up your kids first because they're hungry too, and head out to the tailgate party, okay? Are you guys with me? All right, back to the vision, okay? Every vision comes with values to support and sustain it. It's interesting because I did a study on Joel chapter 2 where it says old men will dream dreams, young men will dream, young men will have visions. That word vision, visions is really all the details it's going to take to fulfill the dream. It's a pretty amazing connection when you see it. But every dream, every vision comes with values and the details to support and sustain it. One of the foundation values of real life going forward is going to be the value of community and family. We're going to dedicate an entire month of November. It's going to be called We Are Family. And we're going to talk about the church as a family. How many know the church is a family, not a business? All right, we're just not making just simple transactions on Sunday, but we're sharing our lives. We're pouring out our lives. This is where we're going. So I hope you want to be a part of a family and not a business, okay? Acts 16:11. Let's jump back there and see. So Paul has this vision. In the vision, someone's waving their hand, come over to Greece and help us out, Paul. And listen to what happens. It says they immediately rose up and knew that they should go. Chapter 16, verse 11. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course. How many of you thankful for straight courses? How many know the shortest distance between point A and point B is a straight line? And listen, when you have clear vision, listen, and you have a clear set of values, you can run a straight course to the vision that God is calling you to. And the next day they came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And so they get there, they get to Macedonia, they get to Philippi. I've actually been there on a tour, I was able to go with some college students in my late 20s, and we did a living Bible study, and we started in Philippi, and I seen the jail where supposedly Paul and Silas were kept. You remember that at midnight? This is all chapter 16, if you continue to read it. But here they are, they arrive in Philippi several days with the vision. How many can get excited about vision? Right? It's exciting. But they get there and nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. And I'm sure Paul's crew is looking at him and say, okay, Paul, we obeyed God. We walked through the open door. Paul, are you sure you heard from God? Or did you eat some bad hummus? Right? So they're there a couple of days. Nothing is happening. They're just stepping towards the vision. How many know God is just inviting us to step towards the vision? I'm inviting you with me to just come along and just step towards the vision. I don't see everything, but God is starting to show me glimpses and little things. And so I'm inviting you into this to walk out this with me. And so they decided to go outside the city to a place where they heard prayer meetings were happening. And sure enough, they get there, and there's a group of women intercessors led by a lady named Lydia who is captivated by the things that Paul is saying. How are you thankful for intercessors? How many know somebody is praying for you? Someone's already, listen, they're praying for you, and they're preparing themselves for the vision that God is giving you. And that's what I was saying earlier when I saw George walking, when I saw George the first time when I walked in. God reconnected us after 20 years. And that's what I want to just reiterate, that God will not only give us what we need to fulfill the vision, He will give us who we need to fulfill the vision. Acts 16:14, it says, now a certain woman named Lydia heard us, and she was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart. Listen to that. The Lord opened her heart to heed things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. How many know God has a place for your vision to unfold? And I believe the Holy Spirit is saying this right now. Come and stay at my house. Come and stay at my house. Obedience, again, they left immediately. Obedience will first lead you to an open heart. An open heart will lead you to an open door. That's what we're going after in this new season God is bringing Real Life Church into. We're going to radically obey. Everybody say immediately. We are going to radically obey. We are going to step towards the vision with courage. We are going to step towards the vision boldly. Listen, and we're going to radically obey. We're going to look for open hearts, receptive hearts, and we're going to watch God fling the doors wide open in our community. This last week on this trip that I went, I had to rent a car because my car wasn't going to make it. I knew better. My car has over 200 and some odd thousand miles on it. And so we were on, my sister was taking me on my way to pick up the rental car, and I pulled out my license, which had expired on my birthday. So I had one of those extension notices. You guys know what I'm talking about? And I realized that the extension notice expired 3 days before. And so we're driving down 50, and I look up, the closest DMV is Oak Park. So we pull in there, I get out there, and there's a line out the door. Have you ever been to DMV with a line out the door? And I'm just like, automatically, I'm like, 4 hours, right? This is an all-day thing. I'm supposed to pick up the car at 12. It's going to be 4 o'clock, right? And so I'm standing there, and I'm like, I'm going to be honest with you. I was like, I just got done preaching that thankful message. I'm like, thank you, Lord. Not really, but thank you, Lord, right? God, how many know when you preach something, God's going to test you on it, right? So I was standing there in line, right? And I don't know, this has never happened to me in my entire life, but I'm honest with you. I'm like, Lord, you got to help a brother out here, right? You got to get, is there an express line? Is there something, right? And so this lady comes out. This has never happened to me at DMV. All my life. A lady's coming down. She's all, what are you here for? She's handing papers out. Fill this out. Make sure you don't make a mistake. If you make a mistake, when you get up there, we're going to make you get back in line. So she's handing all this kind of, you know, those kind of, you know, those. All right. And so there's a handing all. She gets to me and she's all, what do you need? I'm like, well, my license expired 3 days. I never got my license in the mail. It's been over 6 weeks. And she says, come with me. Have you ever experienced an open heart at DMV? She literally said, you in the gray shirt, come here. Everybody looked at me and I was like, favor's not fair. Hey, you know. We've got to look. Listen, what I'm trying to say, an open door. Listen, you'll never get to your open door without meeting first the open heart. You see, many of you, you're looking for open doors. Listen, but you don't want to deal with people. And it's the people who open the doors. And listen, if you want to walk through the door that God wants to open, listen, you've got to be nice to people. God, it says Jesus had favor with God. How many of you have favor with God? But it says he also had favor with men. So open doors, listen, an open heart always precedes an open door. You'll need to read the rest of Acts 17 on your own. Paul and Silas, some of my favorite Bible stories here, praising in prison at midnight. The Philippian jailer gets saved. The Philippian church is encouraged. But it's important to understand how God called Paul to the Macedonian mission so we can begin to understand Paul's methods in Acts 17 that helped him accomplish what God called him to do. Because I believe it's some of the methods that Paul practiced that God is going to help us with to help us flesh out the vision here at Real Life. You'll notice a pattern in Paul's ministry in Acts 17 that he always started by teaching in the synagogue. We're in Acts 17 now, just so you know, but I'm not going to read everything. In Thessalonica, so they go from Philippi to Thessaloniki or Thessalonica. Paul's methods worked in Thessalonica. Verse 4 says, and some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, which is a huge breakthrough, by the way, in that day, because women were not looked at as leaders. But how do you know God is raising up women in the body of Christ? Come on, somebody. And they join Paul and Silas, so they're experiencing revival. They go to the city, they go to the synagogue, and sure enough, Greeks, Gentiles, not Jews, but Greeks start giving their lives to Jesus Christ, which was, you know, which was totally outside of the box. In Berea, they go to the next city. In Berea, Paul's methods worked. Verse 12, therefore many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks. Again, the Gentiles start coming to know Jesus. Prominent women as well as men. In Athens, Paul goes to the synagogue again. How many know when something's working, you just want to keep working it, right? He goes to Athens, he goes to the synagogue, but it's interesting because there's no mention of the results. Could it be possible that Paul's method that worked in Thessaloniki, Thessalonica, and Berea, could it be that Paul's method was met with spiritual resistance? I believe so. Look at verse 16, Acts 17, verse 16. It says, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, he was waiting for Timothy and them to arrive to help him out. It says, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. The NKJ says, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw the city was given over to idols. I believe the church, I believe God is provoking his church again. And I believe, like Paul, something is stirring in all of us when we see people, places, and things in our city, in our country, and our world that have been given fully to something else other than Jesus Christ and his kingdom. It's time to get stirred up again. It's time to let the Holy Spirit provoke you. That something righteous would rise up inside you and you would say, not on my watch. Why was Paul so upset? Because he knew God was a jealous God. How many know God wants all of our worship? We talked about, for a couple weeks, we talked about just being, not being distracted and just worshiping at the feet of Jesus. And God is calling Real Life Church to be distracted by nothing else but to be wholly given to Jesus in our worship. Exodus 34:14 says, you shall not worship any god, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous, impassioned God, demanding what is rightfully and uniquely his. How many of you know your life is rightfully and uniquely his? And because it's his, listen, he deserves all the worship from your life. Deuteronomy 4, and I'm not just talking about singing on Sundays, because some of us can't sing like me, right? I'm just talking about everything you do is giving glory to God. Deuteronomy 4:24, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. I know we sing a lot about our hearts burning for God, but in this passage, Paul understood when he arrived in Athens that God's heart was burning for the people of that city. And I believe God is going to give us, listen, he's going to let us burn again with a passion for this city, for this Natomas area and the greater Sacramento area, that God is going to, listen, he's going to let our hearts burn for souls, to see souls saved in this city once again. And I'm not just talking about a few on a Sunday. I'm talking about Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And when we come together on Sundays, we're celebrating all the people who gave their lives to Christ because you led them to the Lord on Sundays. You guys ready for that? In our study this week, you'll see this quote on page 5, but it says, our relationship with Jesus is a response to his desire to have a relationship with us. And God wants us. Everybody say, He wants us. He wants our worship. He wants to know us personally. Paul understood this, and his entire ministry was dedicated to knowing Jesus and making Jesus known. It's really that simple. Man, I just want to know Jesus, and I want to make Jesus known. Wherever the Holy Spirit led him, Paul did whatever it took for the gospel to be heard. And this season, listen, that God is bringing us into, we're going to do whatever it takes to make the gospel be heard in this city. Because we're going to seek God for open hearts and open doors. I'm not forcing anything open, but I'm going to look for people that have open hearts and open doors. I mentioned the word gospel because I believe it's the only message that will lead people to the source of real life. How many know this is real life? I'm not talking about our church, but Jesus Christ is the source of real life. Acts 17:17 says, therefore he reasoned in the synagogue, and here's Paul. He's reasoning in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers and in the marketplace daily with those who happen to be there. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, what does this babbler want to say? That word basically means, what does this bird pecking at seed want to say to us? What does he have to say to us? What's this babbler want to say? Other says he seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. Real life church, we have to get back to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. You see, God wants to use you and I to make the gospel familiar where it's been foreign, even in Atomas and the greater Sacramento area. One of the commentaries that I was reading this week says this: we, like Paul, must go to where the people are. I could just stop right there. How many know church attendance is becoming less and less? Even if you're a faithful believer, studies say that you come 3 out of 4, and some statistics say 2 out of 4. We, like Paul, must go where the people are and to those settings where serious discussion of ideas, even religious ideas, is natural and expected. That's the open heart. There are people, listen, there are leaders, people that aren't saved. Listen, their hearts are open. They don't have to be a Christian for their heart to be open, but their hearts are open. It goes on to say, we must engage the opinion makers and shapers of thought and do battle with contemporary non-Christian philosophies. How many know our battle's not against flesh and blood? Do battle with contemporary non-Christian philosophies and ideologies and philosophies in a way which resonates with the thoughtful. How many know the resurrection that Paul preached resonated with the Epicureans and the Stoics? I'm going to show you in just a moment. But we must do battle with the ideologies and the philosophies in a way which resonates with thoughtful modern men and women, so at least gain a hearing for the gospel by the reasonableness of its presentation. Earlier I mentioned obedience will first lead you to an open heart, an open heart will lead you to an open door. Before I go any further, I just want to mention, if you are a group host, you can leave at any time you want. I'm about to close, but just want you guys to get ready so that you're able to greet the people out there and greet them in line as they get breakfast this morning. But this is exactly what happens again, but this time Paul has to adjust the method. Listen to me. He has to adjust his method to keep moving forward with his mission. So in Thessalonica it works, in Berea it works, but in Athens, the pattern of ministry, the philosophy of ministry that he used, listen, he has to make an adjustment because it's not working the way it did in Thessalonica and in Berea. So Paul adjusts his method to see the mission keep moving forward. Paul's mission was the same, but he realized if he was going to reach Athens, his method had to change. Real life church, I want to declare to you this morning, if our neighbors, our communities, our cities are going to experience the source of this real life that we're talking about this morning, our methods will need to change. Listen, if our church is going to be filled with millennials and young families, our methods have to change. The message doesn't change. Listen, the message doesn't change. The mission doesn't change. But methods have to always be subject to change, or we may miss the greatest harvest in the history of the church. And that's why we can't get stuck on things like music. Because I don't know if you know it or not, but our young people are captivated by music. Amen, that's good. Come on, somebody. Man, I love, and I come from a music movement. You guys know about Jesus Culture. They got a record label and all this and that, and it's incredible. But you know what impressed me the most at Jesus Culture? Because many people go, oh, that church is just full of young people. That's not true. It's full of young people and old people that want to see a young generation reached. This is no lie. At the door of Jesus Culture, there are earplugs. And because of what God's doing, and the older generation sees what's God, how he's captivating hearts in worship, they don't complain. They just go and grab some earplugs and they boom. It's a beautiful thing. But listen, if you're wondering why that church is 2,000 people, it's because something is resonating in the heart of a generation that loves the presence of God. But I was impressed by that. Not caught up in a method, but saying the mission must go forward if we're going to reach a generation. How does, and I'm not just saying music and this. There's a lot of different things that the Lord could want to tweak. So I'm just going to say, Lord, let it, just tweak it. Just tell us, show us what to tweak. Verse 19. You guys okay? Don't worry. Don't worry. No earplugs next week. Don't worry. All right. Acts 17, verse 19. And they took him and brought, I just had a thought. Some of you are like, man, earplugs would be really nice, actually. Verse 19, and they took him, I'm still learning, guys, so you got to give me grace, all right? Verse 19, and they took him and they brought him, listen to this, open hearts, open doors. They listened to him, they took him and they brought him to the Areopagus, which is Mars Hill, which was the original name of Real Life Church back in the day. May we know, listen to their question, may we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak, for you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Listen to this, and I believe this represents every hungry heart in this city. It says, therefore, we want to know what these things mean. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent time in nothing else but either to tell or hear of some new thing. Listen, when the power of the gospel is demonstrated to our city, God will give us a platform we could never build on our own. Listen, not enough marketing would do it. A brand new website won't do it. No. When God gives us open hearts and God begins to open doors, he'll do things above and beyond even a flashy website could do. Hello. And we are going to get a new website, by the way, in just a few weeks. So I got that on target too, all right? The platform that God gives Paul on Mars Hill leads us to the rest of the passage that we're going to look at the next 5 weeks, Acts 17, 22 through 28. And over the next month, we're going to discuss four values that are going to help us walk out the future of Real Life Church. Can I get them before I release? Can I give them to you before I release you this morning? Okay, here's the first one. This is what we're going to be talking about next week. Love God personally. Many Christians have a Sunday-only relationship with Jesus. And listen, God is calling us from infancy to intimacy. And God, listen, The way he increases intimacy, listen, we've got to stop leaning on everybody else giving us information, information, information. Teach me, teach me, teach me. Coddle me, coddle me, coddle me. No, that's all good, and it's needed for different phases and seasons in your life. But we need fathers and mothers to pour in. Come on, the next generation, the younger, not just the younger, but maybe you're a new believer. We need fathers and mothers to emerge, to continue, listen, to cultivate people's walk with Jesus. God wants to take us from infancy to intimacy, and we're going to talk about loving God personally next week, because it's a major focus in this next season that God is bringing us. We're not going to live from Sunday to Sunday anymore. Secondly, we're going to learn empathy. I'm going to tell you what that means, but basically God desires for us to walk in other people's shoes before we draw conclusions about the path other people are walking on. In other words, we can't draw conclusions as outsiders when we don't know inside information. And so we've got to learn to listen to one another so we can not only draw better conclusions, but we can help and serve one another better. I talked about this a few weeks ago. The third value we're going to look at is living abundantly, living our lives from a place of revelation of our spiritual inheritance instead of our personal lack. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about our inheritance in Christ. And again, I mentioned again, God wants to take us from just information. But listen, he wants us to live life from a revelation, to know him personally. He wants each of us to live from that place, a revelation that we're sons and daughters in Christ. And then lastly, the last value we're going to focus on in this next season that God is bringing us into is that we are going to learn how to lead humbly. And leading humbly is the understanding that the greatest leader who ever walked the planet preferred a towel over a title. And so it's these four values that I just want us to begin to talk about. Really dive deeper in the context of community so that we can begin to live out and fulfill the vision that God is calling us into. Are you guys with me? Will you guys stand with me as we close? Let me just pray. Lift your hands. Father, I thank you so much, God, that we're stepping over a threshold this morning. You're taking us into a new season. And God, I just know that, God, community and developing healthy community, God, is on your heart for this church. And I just pray, God, as we go out these doors today, God, I pray that we would make healthy connections. And God, you would begin to open doors for new relationships and new friendships and mentors and fathers and mothers and sons and daughters. God, we begin to interact with one another. And God, we begin to flesh out and walk out this vision that you're releasing to us. God, we love you. We praise you today. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, can we give God praise? Come on.